charging much more. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Nearly half the power customers in Puerto Rico still lack electricity, more than 3 months after Hurricane Maria hit the islands. Officials say with power generation at about 70%, just 55% of the nearly 1.5 million customers have power since that Category 4 storm hit in September. News and analysis at townhall.com.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Well, hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio, the very last broadcast podcast for the year 2017. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi. And oh my gosh, that's right. Where has the year gone? I'm looking into January and it's already,
yes.
Might as well be gone because the calendar is loaded up.
It is New Year's Eve. However, we're recording this on New Year's Eve Eve so that we can enjoy our New Year's Eve. Welcome to the show. Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news that you can use. And boy, what a year it's been. Lots of headlines, lots of innovations, lots of successes, lots of fails. And we will lead the show this hour with what some people are calling an epic fail on the part of Apple.
Who would have thunk?
The fanboys, the Apple heads are just, there is something rotten in the Apple. Oh, dear me.
It, at the very least, it has a bruise or a blemish.
Oh, yes, yes. The consumers are not happy. The mob is not happy. Apple has published a letter to their customers.
And they call it a misunderstanding.
Yes, apologizing for the misunderstanding about older iPhones being slowed down. They recently admitted they were, in fact, throttling older phones to compensate for degrading batteries. The company said in the letter, "We know that some of you feel," note this language, "we know that some of you feel that Apple has let you down. We apologize." Apple says in the letter the batteries are, in fact, consumable components, which, yes, they have the point there. They're offering anyone with an iPhone 6 or later battery replacement for $29 starting in late January through December. That's a discount of $50 from the usual cost of putting a new battery. And to be honest, if you have an older device with a lithium-ion battery and it has gone past that 500 or so recharges, the battery is going to start losing its ability to hold a charge. And what Apple was trying to avoid was crashes, because when heavy demands were put on the battery, the voltage would drop and the phone could either crash or actually be damaged in some cases because the voltage would drop. However, had they been upfront with this, they took a calculated risk. Had they been wide open and upfront, people would have complained. But they probably wouldn't be filing class action lawsuits.
Backfired slightly, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the thing about it is that it doesn't matter whether you have an Apple or any other device. Your lithium-ion batteries do lose efficacy over time. This is just the nature of the beast. And wasn't Apple the first one to say, "Oh, don't bother. You'll never need to replace your battery."
Right.
So we now have a phone that doesn't have a battery that you can replace. I'm assuming that they probably made the assumption, there's a double assumption there, that people were going to keep the device only a certain amount
of
time.
For 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, for 2 years before they bought another one, and they knew that their batteries wouldn't die in the meantime. And so when a unit came in for refurbishing, that's probably the first thing they did was replace the battery, be able to sell it in another country or, you know, whatever, as a refurb unit that has a fresh battery in it, no one is the wiser, right? Well, of course, these devices are being used more than 2 years. For one thing, they're expensive. For another thing, they're so capable, you don't really need a new device.
Yeah.
And so now they have a problem.
But, of course, they wanted, you know, there's always been suspicion that Apple was doing the slowdown to push new sales, because as the phone slows down, the apps don't work, the phone doesn't feel as crisp, and you say, well, I want the new shiny phone.
Right.
So the cynical folks are saying, well, you're
sort
just trying
plot.
To squeeze us,
yes,
for more profit.
Right.
You know, of course, the fact that Apple is the richest company in the world, I think. Maybe not the richest company, but it's certainly in the top tier. Apple insists that it's never artificially slowed down the phones. It's aggressively managing phone performance to maximize the lifespan. Apple's published, boy, they aren't polished. They published a new knowledge base article. Power management looks at a combination of the device temperature, battery state of charge, and battery's impedance. If these variables require it, iOS will dynamically manage the maximum performance of some system components in order to prevent unexpected shutdowns. So they kind of got themselves in a corner over this one.
Right.
But the fans are unhappy.
Yes, we had reported on this in the previous episode of Boomer Tech Radio, but this has revealed a lot more details as people have caught on to this and what's been going on. Quite the little brouhaha amongst the Apple advocates, if you will, those that are loyal to the brand. And, you know, it just amazes me that a company would assume consumers will say, oh, that's fine. You know, we love you so much that you can do anything and it would just be perfectly fine with us. Not, you know, energy management in our mobile devices is a big issue.
Yeah.
And anytime you have a degradation of performance, people will notice. And it
absolutely
will not be popular.
Yeah. Of course, let's see here. Samsung and LG were very, very quick to respond to this. Apple has said that Samsung and LG say they have never done this to their consumers.
Well, maybe not, but
yeah, but at least not so that they could get caught. But this is right up there with the Volkswagen
reprogramming
to pass emissions tests.
Yeah, it's that same kind of thing. And Apple says that they've always wanted their customers to be able to use their iPhones as long as possible.
Yeah, right.
Who believes that anymore, right?
That's going to be, it's just going to be a really costly event. And there have been a series of missteps at Apple, and this one is definitely not helping the process.
Yep.
So we will see.
Well, it's also just one of those other things to add to the list of things you have to know about when you have these devices and things about their maintenance and care and feeding, if you want to look at it that way, that require you to be an informed consumer.
Yeah. And Apple has had, since Steve Jobs came back from obscurity to re-steer the company so many years ago, Apple has maintained this man-behind-the-curtain attitude. You don't really need to know what's going on inside your device. Trust us, we're handling it perfectly.
That's like, I'm from the government and I'm here to
help.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fox in the hen house.
The macOS ecosystem, iOS ecosystem is so closed, so tightly controlled, so you don't need to know, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for, if you'll excuse that pun. and kind of using Jedi mind tricks to convince you that everything is fine, meanwhile raking in huge amounts of sales and the friendly corporate culture, which is, of course, a load of baloney, and consumers are terribly unhappy about it. Well, this is going to hurt them all over the world.
Taking notice, yeah, well, people will get over it, too. In the meantime, one of the things Samsung has said about its batteries is do not run it down to zero.
Right. This is an issue that just showed up with the Note and possibly also the S8.
Right. But it's never a good idea to run your battery down to
right. It is harmful to a lithium-ion battery to run it completely flat. It will happen time to time.
I'm really bad. That reminds me, I should probably charge up my old iPhone 4, which I think needs to be on life support all the time now because the battery won't hold a charge.
There are things you can do with old phones that no longer serve as phones. You can use them as media players. You can use them as cameras. We use our Samsung Galaxy S5s as video cameras because even though it's an S5, some years old, it still shoots absolutely spectacularly beautiful 1080p video.
Yep.
And they are much more compact than a great big camera. Plus,
less obtrusive.
Yeah, we discovered because of some projects that we do that shooting video using the phone as your camera device, that people aren't intimidated if you don't need the big long glass so you can do a lot of optical zooming. If you're shooting at a fixed focus, the built-in cameras on any decent recent smartphone shoots video the equal of what was on networks just a couple of years ago.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So there will be repercussions, I am sure. So Apple not ending the year on a terribly high note.
It was a sour apple, not a sweet apple.
Yes, it was. Meanwhile, Facebook is also in the news and in a peck of trouble. Now, some of this, I think, is very authentic, and some of it is a concern, but I think that there are individuals who are taking advantage of this story to delegitimize the current federal administration.
What are we talking about?
The Russian meddling on Facebook. And there are calls now to put social media under federal regulation.
What?
I'm going to come right out and say, bad idea. Do you want the secret police examining your news feed to make sure that you aren't trying to influence others?
Well, it's censorship.
Right.
It's a form of censorship. Why would it be under federal regulation? How?
Well, the Facebook, Twitter, and Google are under the government microscope. And this story is a little bit slanted. The accusation here is that the Kremlin outright pushed Hillary Clinton off the possibility of winning, thereby discounting completely the will of the American voter. I certainly was not influenced in my vote by anything that showed up on Facebook, and I think you're an idiot if your vote is I'm going to be brutal. You're an idiot if your vote is in the least affected by something you read on Facebook.
Oh,
come on, grow a brain.
I'll be a little less pointed and say that Facebook should only be one source of information,
right,
and probably not the primary source of information. It's our responsibility as voters, if you're going to do this right, if you will, if I can call it that, to be an informed voter, just like it's prudent to be an informed consumer.
Exactly.
So you have to do homework, and I'm not sure that Facebook has that much power in this case.
The idea that Congress has gotten into its head that the whole of the American people are nothing but a bunch of sheep being led around, I think, does a disservice to a great many people. Yeah, they're sheep. All you have to do is go to the mall. All you have to do is look at social media. But there's an awful lot of independent thinkers, too. And this blanket assumption that anybody who didn't vote the way that the tech liberals think they should have voted must have been influenced by those evil, dastardly Russians, and there can be no other possible explanation. Are you kidding me?
I kind of shake my head because I'm not sure. Well, this is all a political twist.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
But tech has become political, unfortunately.
Well, politics have become very techy.
And the laws, really, unfortunately, are at least a decade
both
behind.
Both ways. Well, that's another problem, because what to do about it? And about the time something gets settled, then the technology changes, and you got a whole new set of angles people can take on things. And it's, you know, always evolving, and it's evolving very quickly. I think that's one of the big differences. When it took a week for a newspaper to cross the country and people found out about stuff after the fact, that was a whole different environment than today, where it's almost instantaneous. Part of that problem being that instantaneous information is often misinformation or incomplete at the very, very least. So whenever big stories bust out, it's like, okay, I'm going to wait a little while before I dig into this, because there'll be more relevant and more factual information come out later. So it's sort of like, how do you work the system, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, as if you didn't have, if you're smugly saying, well, I don't own an iPhone, so all is right with the world.
I have a go back.
Go ahead.
This Facebook, Twitter, Google government regulation, before you get too excited about them regulating them as whole entities, it really is the first part of this, or what's up front right now, is should the government start regulating political ads and speech on Facebook, Twitter, and Google? But, you know, if that happens, that opens the door to everything, possibly.
To mass. Yeah,
right. And there's
Big Brother.
Right. And there's lawmakers of all persuasions who believe that this should indeed be happening. And legislation has already been proposed, and it's called the Honest Ads Act. Like, that's a joke.
I got a problem with it. We already have the thought police, thank you very much, George Orwell, sniffing out every utterance by anyone. And destroying careers based on mere innuendo. Where does that stop?
And the argument is that online advertising, political advertising, should be regulated the same way print, radio, and television are, which would require transparency of funding sources for Facebook, Twitter, and Google. What about other social media outlets? I mean, why are they just picking on Facebook, Twitter, and Google? Of course, they're the big three, but this is going to be interesting to see where this goes. On the face of it, I can understand the potential necessity for it, if I could use the word necessity, or the potential benefit would be a better word. Of it, but at the same time, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Done with that.
Well, you're worried about Facebook taking over your brain and subverting you to Russian points of view. You also have the worry about Facebook taking over your computer. Not Facebook directly. A virus malware that is being distributed via Facebook Messenger. The virus that borrows, and this is a big growing thing that has become a monster concern just during this past year. It utilizes your computer's processing power to mine cryptocurrency without your knowledge. It's being sent out through Messenger. Security experts at Trend Micro found the virus. It's called DigMine. It appears to have originated in South Korea, but it has shown up in Vietnam, the Ukraine, Philippines, Thailand, and Venezuela.
Azerbaijan.
And probably on its way to the United States.
And essentially what they're doing, if I understand this correctly, is they're just stealing your CPU time, using your computer for free to mine cryptocurrency.
And it's the usual, hey, I just found this great thing, or it poses as somebody, like the Messenger spoofs of somebody posing as your friend, saying, I just found out this great deal. Well, this is, hey, I found this great video of your dog, or, you know, I took this great video of your dog, or something, you know, these are my cute grandchildren. Well, instead of downloading a video, it downloads bits of code into your computer, which then works to become part of a massive network of cryptocurrency mining computers, because and sends the credits off to a distant server. So your computer is working really hard to execute these lines of code, and you're wondering why everything is taking forever to load up.
Yep. And so it's kind of insidious, because it can be rather sneaky and you don't even know that it's going on.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that it harms your computer per se, and you can still use all your files and that sort of thing. It may slow your computer down. And the other
part is
that it uses your contacts list
to spread
the virus automatically to other people who more than likely are not going to appreciate the situation.
Incidents of malware that hack computer to mine cryptocurrencies have surged sixfold this year. They're typically designed to stay in the victim's system for as long as possible and to spread to as many other machines as possible. So instead of doing harm for harm's sake,
right,
this is a financial consideration.
Right. Well, they're making money.
Yeah, they are making money. So they're definitely pirating your CPU time, working your computer harder, possibly shortening its life. Indirectly, because mining cryptocurrency is an extremely intensive process.
There you go. To reset the tongue there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really no surprise that they've used social media platforms to get this out there and that sort of thing. So, like most software or anything else, it's really important to make sure that you keep your social media account secure, but, you know, that's like, it's, I really believe it's not a matter of when it's, or if it's when.
You know?
Because I think it's just constant attacks on these things.
A lot of fairly innocuous websites have taken them to paying for their selves and making a little extra coin by stealing your CPU time. So what do you do? Open up your system monitor on a Mac. That's your activity monitor. If you're on Windows, it's the task manager. And open up the system monitor. If you see your CPU usage just spiking almost continuously, if you have everything closed and CPU is still running 80-90%, it's quite possible that you have some form of malware. Now, it's still hard to say what normal CPU looks like, because sometimes you're downloading in the background an update.
Right.
That'll really slow your computer down.
Oh, well, yeah, no kidding. But those are intermittent events, you know.
Sudden and continuous elevated level of CPU usage would indicate a normal increase in demand for CPU time.
Yep.
Ad blockers will help, and you will see advertisements for, I will guarantee, in a few days you will start seeing pop-up ads for block crypto mining malware, download this saving solution, which,
yeah,
of course,
don't
infects your computer
right
already.
Yep.
Do your research. Find there's a, after the first of the year, we will get a rundown of the best anti-malware solutions, because they change all the time.
Yep. Well, there's constantly new attacks, so there has to be some updates to that sort of thing anyway. So definitely,
we'll work on getting some new threats.
Require
ad blocking software will filter out certain types of scripts.
And be really wary of emails that show up and you say, hey, I thought you might like this video. If that's not your friend's style of writing, or the way they communicate, then probably isn't them. You probably have been hacked.
You have been compromised.
Yeah, exactly. You would be if you click on it.
Worst case scenario, you may have to save your personal files, like your pictures and music and things like that, and flush the computer and start all over again to clear out the nasties. Even then, you've got a chance. This is where you may need to get a professional in on the act to help you eradicate the bugs. And with that, we're going to be heading into our bottom of the hour break here on Boomer Tech Radio. And for some reason, my music wasn't working, but there we go. Yes, I'm my own engineer on Boomer Tech Radio. Tech news you can use. We got more coming up right after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia and the Kia Light Up the Holiday Sales event. Get generous year-end savings on the 2018 Kia Niro, the highest-ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017. That LX model's EPA-rated 51 city miles per gallon. Lease one today for $249 a month, plus tax for 36 months with no security deposit. Selling price, $24,299, $19.99 cash or trade, $31.30 Kia lease cash, ID 128391. 32 Niros in stock and on the way. Check out all the great lease offers at ReadingKia.com. Get $4,000 KMF bonus cash on the 2018 Kia Optima SX. $4,000 back to you. 37 Optimas in stock and on the way. On approval to credit, must finance through KMF for Niro and Optima offer. For JD Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, any electronic filing charge, and any emission testing fee. Subject to prior sale ends January 3rd. Reading Kia, readingkia.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
Your insurance does not roll over at the end of the year. It's important that you use this benefit. Ask Dr. Farrell how you can best apply your insurance for your dental needs by calling 547-5757.
Vans Optical would like to pay special tribute to our veterans who exemplify in their duties the spirit of Christmas with the giving of their service to our country. Let us recognize the service and their sacrifices, and take the opportunity to thank all the talented and dedicated veterans for their commitment to our country by wishing them and their families a very Merry Christmas.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world.
Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, tech news you can use. By the way, the theme music that we utilize on this show and have been utilizing for the past 7-plus years. 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed by George Wood. Off the PodSafe Music Network, used by permission. You're counting on your fingers there. Have we completed 7 years or have we completed 8 years?
I think we're going into our 9th year.
So wow.
We completed 8 years. I don't remember
time
the year we started.
Time flies when you're having fun.
2007?
Well, okay. Yeah, all right. No, we launched in January 2010.
2010. Okay, so 10, 11. Well, that
and
would
that
be...
And that would be the first year.
We just finished... Yeah, so we just finished... finishing our 8th year of doing this.
Wow.
Right? So 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's 8 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Finished 8th year doing it. We're going into our 9th year.
Amazing.
I can't believe we've done that.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Somebody actually counted up the episodes and said we were north of 300 episodes.
If you've been a loyal listener this whole time, what's the matter with you? No, I'm just teasing. We appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And if you like it, you're new to it, tell friends, family. We can also, the podcast is available in other avenues, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In addition to the archives that are available on the KCNR1460.com website.
Yep. This year we are not attending the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah,
but
we didn't really see anything that was all that new and earth-shaking to go for.
We will probably either next year or the year after take part.
Something like that. We can't
do it every year. We just don't have the resources
have
to pull
the
that
energy. Oh, the personal
on.
Resources. Mm-hmm. I mean physical resources. It is brutal.
Yeah.
It is brutal.
Well, the feud continues. I'm not talking Samsung versus Apple.
Yeah, that's one that's been in the news a lot past years.
Google and Amazon steel cage death match continues. Google has removed YouTube from Amazon's Echo and Fire streaming devices ahead of schedule. The Fire TV can only see YouTube through a web browser rather than have a built-in app. This particular act of revenge, comeuppance, escalation, following a swipe by Amazon, it stopped selling Google products that rivaled its own, including Google Home, Chromecast, and Nest. Google is blaming, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. So there have been attempts to kind of mend fences, but right now the two MediaTek behemoths are battling it out.
Yes, this lack of reciprocity is being labeled as the feud. And so Google, the YouTube is no longer on the Echo Show and Fire TV, but they do hope to reach an agreement and resolve their issues.
Yeah, it's
soon.
All about the money, of course.
Oh, I'm sure.
U.S. President Donald Trump is wanting the Postal Service to charge Amazon more for their shipments. They're saying that now Trump has not gotten along with tech giants in general because they were all pretty much in the bag for, down there in Silicon Valley. They were all in the California blue bag. Or the red bag, I should say. It's the blue bag. I can't keep those colors straight.
I never did well with these things.
The post office, Trump says, is losing billions of dollars a year But, of course, the package rate, the parcel post rate is pretty darn cheap. It's a lot cheaper than, say, UPS or FedEx.
Yep, that's true.
So parcel post is dirt cheap.
Well, parcel post is slow.
It is, but, well.
But Amazon charges you whatever in shipping and handling, and you get things pretty quickly. But the Postal Service probably has, like bulk rates, if you will, for mm-hmm. Amazon and those that ship a lot of things. And so the allegation or the implication from the president is that the Postal Service should charge more and get, more funding out of the deal. I don't really send much in the way. I might send birthday cards or something special like that. But I'm not going to send out 35 Christmas cards, for instance, at 50 cents a pop.
A lot of people
stopped. Pricey.
Yeah, there was quite a bit of angst about a lessening of physical Christmas cards, and that's one of the big reasons is that 50 cents a pop, that's not easy.
And there's lots of companies that encourage you to receive bills or statements or what have you via electronic means because, of course, it's so much cheaper for them. It's electronic stuff is virtually free. It certainly doesn't have postal fees attached to it. But there's still a huge business, as I understand it, in the postal world for pre-sorted and advertising and things like that. But, who pays attention to that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
The only ones that I look for are the food coupons. Yeah. And otherwise, I pretty much ignore what's there.
So let me see. I want to look. Okay, the biggest tech stories of 2017, and of course these are going right up to the very, very end. We're going to look back, and then we will look ahead. Of course, tech stories this year. The U.S. president made tweeting a very partisan thing, utilizing the platform to air his views, much to the consternation of folks on both sides of the aisle. The cryptocurrency suddenly exploded, and in several industries, long whispered stories of sexual harassment and culture problems in the corporations, including those very same tech companies, were completely pulled out into the open. So that's sort of the top three. Let's see here. Big product launches. Tesla, of course, with their new stuff and the Model 3 coming out. Samsung's two new phones, of both of which didn't burst into flames. let's see here.
Amazon and Google hardware with Echo and Home, that sort of thing. Lots of big product launches, which I don't know. I think we've covered most of them on this show. And you kind of have to be, I don't know, you can be not a techie and still hear about some of this stuff. I don't know why one of the big top stories is Amazon acquiring Whole Foods.
Well, it was a major shift for somebody who started out selling books, if you will. They have become the monster retailer. And
true.
Walmart is trying to play catch-up because they relied on their brick and mortar.
Yep, which still have a place to some extent. I mean, it is nice to touch and feel it, but when you have guaranteed returns and things like that through Amazon, and you can do this all from your armchair, essentially, without a lot of fuss, that sort of takes it brings a new flavor to mail order, actually, where it used to be people in Alaska and remote areas and that sort of thing that were into mail order. But now it can be anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
Literally. And it's a global market. But anyway, Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods, and it's still not clear exactly how they're going to take advantage of that and what they're mm-hmm. going to do and how they're going to change that up and make it different.
Jeff Bezos, of course, now like the richest human on planet Earth. How about that?
Well.
But, of course, Amazon's whole big thing is logistics. They can get
they're very
stuff
good
from point
at that.
A to point B very, very efficiently.
Yep.
Of course, the social media has become absolute political playgrounds and ways to win friends and influence people.
Changes in net neutrality, which is a very recent development this year, and how that's been neutralized in some respects.
I don't think, and I've said this
before.
It's
just changed.
I think there's going to be challenges. I don't think that the internet is going to collapse inward and become a fiefdom and all that. I think, and as a matter of fact, net neutrality only affects that last mile, as I've said. And a story that somebody pointed out to me we'll be talking about during the new year is a new network technology called, is it AirGap? I think it is. And what that is, and we've talked about that on this show, Gig Air or Air Gig. I forget which way it is. I'll have to look that up real quick. Anyway, it's a new technology, but we've been talking about it for years, that you've got fiber or coax running along the existing phone poles, and the last link into your house to keep it at a very high rate of speed is wireless. Let me see. Gig Air?
Gig Airport? No, that's not right.
No. Air Gig. Try Air Gig. Yeah, Air Gig ATT.
There you go.
And if you look that up, this is a project that ATT has launched to bring ultra-fast internet over the last link into your house. And the nice thing about it is that if you put more, you know, well, here's a perfect example. We had, up until last year, DSL on our block. And we had the last slot, open slot, for DSL on our street because we kind of live out in the country. There was no way to expand and give more bandwidth. Well, fortunately now we have, what is that, U-verse, which is still kind of a, it's still not particularly fast, but it's a whole lot faster than DSL. What AirGig is going to offer is using a lot of the same infrastructure, speeds 10 times faster than what you're getting now on U-verse or any of these other services.
Well, it would be nice. There's a trial of this going on with Georgia Power, and it's not entirely clear. They haven't, I don't understand if it uses power lines, power lines.
It's internet
to that.
Over power lines, carrier current type systems. Which does bring up the possibility of radio frequency interference, and I know a lot of ham radio operators are worried that the interference from these power lines may cause problems.
Right, and don't get too excited about this just yet, because this is undergoing development and trials, so it's not commercially available yet.
Yeah. The whole idea is that a radio wave is gliding along the power lines, which is an interesting concept.
Right, exactly. And then they
are
able
to
kind of stretch the infrastructure, essentially, is what it amounts to.
Yeah.
So this could have some interesting ramifications. But, of course, as soon as I think it's like any highway in any town, as soon as they build it, they will come and just more stuff gets choked up on there. But then again, it may allow traffic levels that we don't have currently.
Of course, there were some very odd things. We noticed when we went to CES last year, there was stuff that was connected to the internet that really was puzzling. Why would you connect this to the internet? And a perfect example is the $700 Juicero. That's right. The Juicero is a Wi-Fi connected juicer. It has proprietary fruit pulp packages. You had to plug this thing into the internet to use it. But as it turned out, the expensive packages of pulp, you could take it in your two hands and squish it up without the $700 machine.
Do you think? I mean, sometimes there's just a little bit too much. Just because you can doesn't mean that people are going to buy into this and say, honestly, what, spend $700 on this thing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
The hashtag MeToo was a big story of 2017, where a lot of women came out and said, we're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. And the culture at places like Tesla, companies that profess to be cutting edge in terms of social awareness, being called on the carpet.
It's been so fascinating to me to see how rapidly Uber, all kinds of things. All of these things have now come to this head of attention so quickly in a credible way. That's the other thing, is there's a lot of things that could be put throughout social media and whatnot in a discreditable way or disbelievable way or a fake way. But I honestly believe that this is something real, and it's been astonishing to me how quickly it's been taken seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
When many other attempts to get people to take this seriously via, you know, workshops and corporate training and that sort of thing, it doesn't get taken seriously. So I'm all for it in terms of if that's, you know, if it's a genuine thing.
As long as it doesn't go into hysteria.
Well, or gets misused to destroy somebody falsely and things like that, which, of course, there's very real possibilities that that could happen.
Yeah.
And it, so... you know, that's the other thing. It's the whole thing about tech, the greater good, or even, you know, malintent as well. But still, it's just fascinating how, from a cultural, social, political perspective, the thing just exploded.
Yep. The promise of virtual and augmented reality have still not fully... They are in the same boat as... Remember? 3D television? You don't? There's a reason for that. Nobody cared.
Well, it was an idea before its time, perhaps. It's not that's sort of under the just because they can doesn't mean the consumer wants it. Or, you know, you present something and you hope that people buy into it, but it really wasn't ready.
Yeah,
still isn't
the
ready.
Theme at CES 2013 was, hey, folks, that that flat screen you just spent $900 on is obsolete. You got to spend another $1,500 to get 3D. And if you have one and your neighbor has one, if they're not the same brand, you
well,
can't
too
visit.
Bad you can't.
Yeah,
it's not universal.
If your dog gets hold of the $100 glasses, oh, well,
right.
And never
of
mind
course.
Those splitting headaches.
Right. The consumer said, don't think
and
so.
And a viewing angle about is, you know, about 2 feet wide.
Not likely to happen, right?
Yeah. So 3D remains a niche. VR and AR, you know, virtual and augmented realities remain niches. I think that the adoption in virtual reality and even in augmented reality is going to be big in industry. And, of course, military is all over that. Virtual reality, I think you're going to see sports fans getting into that. Because, obviously, two big things drive, and this is not going to make some people squirm, but two things drive the cutting edge of tech, sports and porn. That's just the way it is.
Well, that's been true for quite some time.
All the way back to the printing press. You know, well, maybe not the printing press, but you know what I mean. You know, it, certainly since the age of the VCR, you could delay the game so that you could watch it at your leisure, or you could run down. You didn't have to go to the CD theater to watch the steamy movie. So 2018 promising to be another exciting year for consumer electronics. Android phones, of course, ruling the roost. Google is going to be unleashing and is expected to at the upcoming CES. Google is unleashing a whole bunch of brand new goody electronic gadgets that will tie into your home, into your system. And a lot of people are saying, I have no wish to be connected to anybody, anywhere, under any circumstances. Okay.
Well, that's becoming increasingly difficult.
Yeah. Android phones will, according to this prediction in the next web, Android phones will remain at the top of the food chain. Even though Apple will have its huge fans, especially in light of this recent thing with Apple.
You know, it wasn't too long ago. That was a big thing. You know, how many iOS devices versus how many Android devices. That was a story that kind of faded in the background for a while. Here it is. It's back.
Mm-hmm. Smart TVs will become even more integrated into your home entertainment system.
We've
seen the beginnings of that. Our TV is a little bit old for it, but the next generation of flat screens that are using OLED-type screens and will talk about that during the year. What is the difference between an OLED and a so-called LED TV? There's a difference between the two. But time was you had to get up, walk across the room, and change the channel.
Oh, my God.
Or get little Billy to turn the volume up or down.
I remember when it was a big deal if you had color. And then if you had color, the next big thing was
remote control.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, during the 80s and 90s, you had a whole forest of remote controls because you had one for the cable box, one for the television, one for the VCR. And when CD DVD players came along, you had one for that, too. So you had this whole forest of remotes. Now, everything is integrating with streaming and, of course...
Or an app, and you have it on your smartphone.
Or voice command.
One device to rule them all.
Yes. I'm doing more and more of my searches. We were looking for a phone number earlier today, and I simply said, okay, G-O-O-G-L-E.
I don't want to trigger off anybody's device.
Right, and gave the name of the business, and okay, I found this. And we're starting to use that more.
More
are you noticing
more.
Around
I do
people
it too.
Are using voice searches more
yep,
and more?
Yep, definitely.
Because they're getting better.
Yep, better and better. So we had briefly mentioned before, we talk about password security on the show fairly frequently, but there are a couple entities that think we should do away with passwords altogether. And you said, well, what are you going to replace it with? And what they're finding, of course, is that people still make terrible choices for passwords, so it's not as safe as it might be otherwise. And the trend now is to go towards biometrics, which is things like fingerprints, face recognition, and that sort of thing. But the problem with that is that not every device has good security. For instance, you may be able to show a picture.
Right, that's a refinement.
But you
can look at a person and say that's a picture of a person
right.
instead of a real person, the phones are going to get to that.
They will. So it's not quite there yet, but that's what's going on. And there's actually this company called FIDO. I love that. I'm sure that's not how they say it, but it's the Fast Identity Online Alliance. And they're the ones that are working with folks to help develop, you know, quick access to your device without having to go through some password or something like that.
Or your phone will become the key to your computer.
If you have
unlocked your phone and you sit down at your computer, now your computer will unlock. Microsoft is pushing real hard into that. And then I expect Apple to kind of jump on that bandwagon fairly soon.
Right. But look forward to, as years go by here, to have security more and more based on biometrics. And that could be a good thing.
Yeah. So lots of great stuff. We've got more coming up in our second hour of Boomer Tech Radio. By the way, we're going to be talking about what if you got a Google Home under your tree? Well, what do you do with it? What do you need to know about it? Also, some other gadgets. If you got a Kindle tablet or any tablet, let's say you're a senior or somebody who just isn't particularly techie, and you got a tablet, well, now what do you do with the darn thing?
Brand
right?
new to the tablet world.
Yeah. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about so many other stories. You want to get in touch with us here at Boomer Tech Radio, you can, of course, drop an email to boomertechradio@gmail.com. Visit the website, and I'm still telling people about that all the time, boomertechradio.com. You can find all of our past episodes, links to interesting things, and places to give feedback. If you want to email us, boomertechradio@gmail.com. Pick us up, of course, pick up the show at pick up the show on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher. And, of course, we want to thank our longtime sponsor, Advanced Automotive of Reading. They have stuck with us through all of it here on this show. And thanks to George Wood. He composed the Boomer Tech Radio theme. He didn't do it just for us. We borrowed it and got permission to do so. Hey, back with more tech news you can use after the top of the hour. It's Boomer Tech Radio.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely.
It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Ron DeRockstrup. A wintry mix of precipitation continues to take hold in parts of the nation. National Weather Service forecaster Mark Chouinard said people in Erie, Pennsylvania can count on even more snow in the coming days.
Not looking as significant as, you know, what we had seen there, but the potential is certainly there for an additional 6+, maybe even close to another foot possibly. So it will be picking up, it looks like, lake effect again as we head into early this weekend.
Yeah, so Erie, Pennsylvania, got about 65 inches of snow already. Some New Year's Eve celebrations have been canceled. Other cities contemplating doing the same rather than risk people being out in the elements and being exposed to potential weather-related danger. New York City, on the other hand, no such plans, even though forecasters say this could be the second coldest New Year's Eve celebration since 1917, when the temperature dipped to 1 degree. Authorities say an employee walked into a Los Angeles area law firm, shot two men, killing one, injuring one, before turning the gun on himself. And now they're looking for what motivated the man to open fire on his colleagues. Police didn't fire any shots, and SWAT teams searched the rest of the building, found no other victims. Suspect taken to a hospital and his condition listed as stable. New York City fire investigators believe a 3-year-old boy was playing with burners on a stove before a fire ignited in a deadly Bronx apartment house.
We were told the boy had a history of playing with the burners and turning them on, and before the mother knew it, this fire had gotten a good hold in the kitchen. She said it was a lot of fire, a lot of smoke, grabbed the children and ran out.
Fire Commissioner Daniel Negro says the fire carried the hallway, that is, stairwell, acted like a chimney, carrying the flames through the entire building within minutes, blocking the main escape route. 12 people died. More news at townhall.com.
Relief Factor is made from high-quality fish oil and essential nutrients. Gives your body the help it needs to aid fighting recurring aches and pains. When life's aches and pains get you down, you need relief. Physicians made Relief Factor as an essential way to support the body's fight against aches and pains. It's a remarkable product. It has worked. I only endorse it because it helped my wife with her knee pain. I didn't even know she was taking it. Then when it was mentioned, she said, oh yeah, this stuff is like magic. Look, there are people who've told me they've postponed or delayed or simply negated surgery because of Relief Factor. That's how powerful it is. Go to www.relieffactor.com, that's relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, that's 800-500-8384. This remarkable product is called Relief Factor, relieffactor.com.
The General Secretary of the International Federation of Journalists, Anthony Bellinger, said at least 81 reporters were killed on the job this year, and that violence and harassment against media staff has rocketed.
72 men, 8 women, and the most dangerous country in the world is Mexico. And Mexico is not a country in war, officially. It's a country where tourists are going every year.
Bellinger said violence and harassment against media staff has skyrocketed to more than 250 journalists being put in prison in 2017. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis breaking a longstanding tradition of visiting the troops over the holidays. He did not visit a war zone this December. The only other time that happened was in 2002. General Mattis, though, did visit last month in the Middle East earlier in December. He said he wanted troops to enjoy the holiday uninterrupted. This is townhall.com. A swatting prank called to lure police SWAT teams to a Kansas home, resulting in the death of an innocent man.
Wichita, Kansas police and the FBI are looking for the man who made a 911 call claiming to be holding his family hostage after killing his father.
Pointing the gun at them, making sure they stay in the closet. My mom and my little brother.
Okay, is there any way you can put the gun up?
No. Are you guys sending someone over here?
That from KAKE-TV. Deputy Police Chief Troy Livingston tells KAKE that call set into motion the SWAT team shooting death of an innocent man.
If the false police call had not been made, we would not have been there.
Livingston says Andrew Finch was shot and killed after he opened the front door and seemed to be reaching for a gun. Finch's mother, Lisa, says that cop murdered my son over a false report. I'm Tim McGuire.
More news at townhall.com.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Boomer Tech Radio Broadcast Podcast, and our last one of 2017.
Shocking.
Wow. The last hour we get to do this for this until next year.
I'm Brenda Belongi.
And I'm Bob Belongi.
I did it in reverse this time.
It's the Tech News You Can Use, BoomerTechRadio at gmail.com. We will try during 2018 to do at least one show live per month. It's going to be difficult because of our work schedules. But we will try. We will make that attempt because a lot of people seem to really appreciate it when we do the show live. Now, right now, of course, because of scheduling, because of this week, because of the holiday, we're not doing, we didn't really want to come in on New Year's Eve. But sometimes we're on the road and we don't want to necessarily carve our weekend in half because
New Year's Eve is Sunday.
New Year's Eve.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve Eve. So this is New Year's Eve Eve Eve.
Okay.
When we're recording well, the
program. Did I just say that three times fast?
When we're recording the program. Okay.
So by now, everyone has unwrapped their Christmas presents and received things or whatever holiday celebration you might be into. You know, the gifts are probably known at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that some people may have received is a Google Home or an Amazon Echo, which are referred to as smart speakers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've noticed on in this particular case, I was listening to NPR the other morning on their newscast, and they said there was some advertisement or suggestion or whatever for a future broadcast, and they said, just ask your smart speaker to play NPR, whatever that, you know, I haven't tried that to see what's going on, but they are pretty cool because their voice activated.
Since we have had our Echo, they've really improved in terms of their searchability.
And it's rather amusing sometimes. We have ours set to, the wake up word is computer, which a lot of people probably don't have, so I feel safe saying that. But we say computer all the time on this show.
Star Trek.
So all of Star Trek. And, every once in a while, though, the smart speaker hears something it thinks you're trying to wake it up.
Yeah,
trigger word, or it says something else.
Sorry, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, it'll just pop off in the middle of whatever's going on. And it's just crazy. Now, what's interesting, our Amazon Echo sits near the television, and rarely, though, does it pop off on anything that goes on.
Yeah.
It comes from the television speaker.
Yeah, it's like it filters some of that, but it – There was some ad campaigns not terribly well thought out. The Burger King ad comes to mind,
right,
where they intentionally triggered.
You're right.
And then there was a
that got a lot of backlash.
Disney movie ad that intentionally triggered smart speakers. We're going to focus on the Google Home, and I'm going to sneeze. Don't you hate that feeling?
All right, yes, the lead up to it, absolutely. So
yeah, there is.
We have one of each, actually, in our house, because we like to mess around with these things.
And we're being a tech show, we're supposed to know what the hell
and,
we're talking about.
There's that, but we also kind of accidentally ended up with a Google Home. That wasn't our intention at the time, because we already had an Amazon Echo, but it happened because we ended up purchasing it thinking a friend could use it, and then that didn't happen. So we just said, oh, well, we'll just keep it. It wasn't terribly expensive. We'll just keep it and mess around with it since we have it, and returning it's a pain in the butt. So we've been messing around with it.
It's a nice nightstand companion.
Yeah, well, Google Home, they definitely have some performance issues, differences, I should say, not issues, performance differences between the two. Google Home is smart enough to know who is talking to it.
That's right. Different voices will match different accounts.
Right, so that's kind of interesting. And there was that one point where you alleged that our Google Home may not recognize me giving it a command, but I've never had any trouble with that.
Yeah.
You know, I just tell it something to do, and it takes it. So I think if it's more basic things, maybe
if it's
sophisticated,
account-specific, like you would have a playlist of music, and I would have my own playlist of music. If I say, set my calendar for such and such, it'll send that to my Google Calendar on my phone, but it won't send it to yours necessarily.
So podcasts, you can ask Google Home to play podcasts.
Yes. So
even if it's not in your playlist or whatever, it may go out on the web somewhere else to look for it. So that's kind of cool.
Can I get away with it? Hey Google, will you play the latest Boomer Tech podcast?
Oh, Bob does not apologize if that triggered it off.
Yeah, it's a demonstration. It's not a bug. It's a feature. It was
a
demonstration.
Something like that.
You
can always tell your device to stop. So to be fair, it's like, okay, Google, stop.
Yeah. Now, if somebody had a timer running just now while they're listening to the show.
Oops. Well, it may ask which is going on. So we're busy messing with your devices. This is one of the dangers of these things. So if someone's given you one of these things and you're really not that familiar and plugged into the tech world or these devices, you know, what else can you do with one of these smart speakers?
Well, here's something that I just learned. You know, I didn't know that you could turn the Google Home into a Bluetooth speaker to play from any device of your choice. So if you have an old tablet that maybe you have to keep plugged in all the time. And let's face it, built-in speakers on tablets are crap. You can actually link it over into your Google Home to play the music over the home's, you know, nominally better speaker. Especially, you got the Google Home Max, that big, beautiful beast of a $300 room-shaking speaker.
I didn't know this either. Find your phone, which can be a useful feature, particularly home. Particularly if you have your phone turned off, your ringer off, what Home will do is turn off the Do Not Disturb so you can hear it ringing. And you can dial your phone and find where it is in the house or your bag or whatever it happened to land and you can't remember where it was. Or maybe it's not in the house. It's out in the car. Mm-hmm. I've done that a couple times, left it in the car accidentally.
Well, one of the things that the Home can do, which is superior to the A lady, the Echo lady,
yes,
the ability to answer follow-up questions. One follow-up question to ask is to beam queries to your phone. After Home has finished answering a question, you can send that information to your phone for later use. So you can actually see with the Echo, you ask a question, but you can't, and if you want to answer or ask a follow-up, you have to start over and ask a completely new question, whereas the AI in the Google Home can apparently chain questions together. So that's only going to get better as the system learns more and more, as the AI gets smarter.
Well, if you don't mind Google monitoring virtually everything you do in your house, then you probably have a Chromecast. So the Google Home connects well with Chromecast, and you can give voice commands to play, pause, skip, rewind, or beam stuff to the Chromecast through that. So it's, it's kind of interesting how that'll work. So that it essentially gives, you don't have to have a manual remote, mm-hmm. but it only works with the Chromecast and the Google Home. So it's not like it's a universal remote that allows you to do that with your smart TV, at least not yet. Or maybe there's an app for that coming out, or there's an app for that that we are not aware of yet. We haven't looked into that too much.
The Home can be a totally hands-free speakerphone, unlike the Echo, which currently does not have. Now, the Echo will call a business, or it will call somebody else who has an Echo. But at least the last time I checked, you couldn't dictate a phone number to it, completely hands-free. And this is kind of a neat feature where you can say, okay, or hey, G, dictate the phone number, and it will dial it and work as a speakerphone.
That's pretty cool.
That's a handy trick.
Yep.
And of course, you can do this with your smartphone, too, to be totally hands-free. And a lot of people who are who need to make calls while driving use that feature. And, of course, the OnStar system does something very much like that. And that's getting better.
Games and entertainment, you can always ask the smart speakers, hey, tell me a joke. And you'll get something silly that it's family-friendly every time. We've tried that.
Yeah, and there's a Jeopardy game I think you can do or something like that.
There's, trivia games, music games, and name games to test these things out. So you can interact with it on that level. Apparently Spotify has its problems. You can have Google or Amazon Echo play music. You can just say, hey, play this album by this artist or this song by this artist or whatever, and do things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. So
you can order, do shopping, and there's all kinds of things you can do. And you can get online and Google the Google Home and find out what's new, because it's always changing. It's just like the Amazon Echo. There's always new skills, they call them.
Yeah,
there's new apps that come out for that.
Hey, A, what can you do?
All right.
And then there's with the companion app on both the Home and on the Echo, you can find new skills. And the voice response, we're getting closer and closer to the Starship Enterprise bridge.
That sort of thing where you get a pretty, prompt, detailed answer more and more.
And once again, to the best of my information, these speakers are not recording your every utterance and storing them somewhere for nefarious purposes. They will only carry out an activity and record the phrase after you use the wake-up word. That's, if you can imagine the liabilities discovered that were, in fact, recording your every word. But there's people who are going to insist that, it's the evil government plot or whatever.
Or better safe than sorry and that kind of thing. So really, anytime you use Google, period, there's a certain amount of information you're giving up.
You are paying. You discovered something your Facebook.
I had. Well, it wasn't Facebook. I had downloaded this little free game ages ago, and it got an update. And now that it insists, in order to keep playing the game, the free game, they want access to your photos, your email, and your microphone. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't need to play this game that badly.
Yeah, or get the paid version.
Get the paid-for version if there even is one. Or, it's like, excuse me? That just really bugged me. What does a game need use of a microphone when it's not an interactive game?
Right.
You're just playing against the computer. Like, what?
My opinion is on this stuff, and I've seen that too, where such and such an app needs to access this and that and this and that. And try first saying no and see if you completely lose the use of the app or functionality, because you can always re-enable it. But you are paying for this stuff with your personal information.
Yep.
And you have to weigh the benefit that you are getting from the application or the program or the device against the intrusion into your life, because your preferences, what you like to buy, your shopping history, how likely you are to get a particular product, is a valuable commodity.
So, if you got a smart speaker and aren't sure what to do with it, we hope we gave you a direction to look
forward
to.
And you can research this stuff easy.
But what if you got a tablet for the first time for Christmas? Either maybe you already have a desktop PC that you're using for email and maybe Skyping or something like that with friends and family and that sort of thing, and someone's given you a tablet. Why would you want a tablet and a PC? There's some very good reasons for that.
Yeah, no, I carry... In fact, as I do this program, I have my MacBook Pro on one side, and I have my iPad on the other side. In between the two, the interesting thing, though, is that I keep tapping the screen on the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, you get used to touch screens on your tablet, and then you go to your laptop, which looks a lot like some tablets because of the cases. If you have a keyboard case, it just, in your mind, it looks like a laptop, and you try to touch the laptop screen and it doesn't have that feature. It's like, why isn't this working? Oh, yeah, I'm not on my tablet anymore. Okay, so one of the things that I like about having a tablet is portability. You don't have to drag your laptop or your, certainly you're not going to drag your desktop computer around. But laptops tend to be much heavier than tablets. And tablets are one of those things where it gives you, I think of it as quick access to the internet or your email or whatever. It's
right.
Just a pop in. You don't have to go wait for the computer to come on and then wait for the update to go through and then log on and log on and log on and log on. Tablets are very handy that way. Or many a time we've been watching a program and we run across an actor that we are not familiar with, and or a subject or a line, want to know where something was filmed or whatever, and boom, out comes the tablet. Look it up real quick. And
who was that guy?
And what other things
have
they done?
Where
have I seen this person before? Any number of those kind of things. It's just a short example.
That's called sidebarring.
You can have all of your email accounts, most of the mail apps on... your tablets will allow you to list in all of your email accounts, and I hope you do have at least two, one for junk mail that is got nothing to do with, your primary one, and then there might be one that you have only with one financial institution, for instance, or you have one for family and friends, so most people have multiple email accounts.
Yeah.
And you can use your tablet, though, to quickly tap into all of those in one place. And you don't have to log in to every single thing on like you do your laptop or your desktop. So somebody, why don't I just use a tablet? For some people, maybe that's all they need is a tablet. But most of us do have a desktop as well. And there are some very good reasons to have desktops. Obviously, if you're a gamer, you're not going to do this on a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
If you are wanting a little more security or brain power, you have programs you're using that won't work on a tablet, you need a desktop or a laptop.
Yeah.
So there's reasons to have everything, but tablets are very handy. They're very portable.
Yeah. Now, it looks like Apple, if they get it together, is going to pull off what Microsoft attempted to do starting with Windows 8. In other words, from your phone to your tablet to your computer,
seamless
integration across applications and across the platforms. Now, Microsoft tried and died on this one.
Yeah, they didn't quite have it right yet.
Yeah.
Apple's as an ecosystem, in an integrated ecosystem, has been at it longer than everybody else, so they probably have
a
big advantage that way.
Big connectivity. Everything had to go through the iCloud or in order to do documents, things like that. You had to save a document up into your iCloud on one device and bring it back down on another. Well, now that's going to be a lot more seamless integration, and the apps will behave the same, because right now an app running under iOS is completely different than an app running on macOS.
Right, and that's the reason it's been that way is because the capabilities of that operating system, some have more brains or whatever than others. So they're actually going to, but you still, the cloud has to be involved somewhere.
Right, there is. It is still using the cloud, but rather than as a repository, it's just a conduit.
All right. So it'll go from one device to another.
Right.
Now, through the cloud.
If you got Google Docs, you're already doing this. In fact, I'm dabbling with writing again, and I can have a document running on my iPad, go home to my PC, pull up the document and continue working on it, go someplace else, pull it up on my MacBook, and continue working on it, and the changes are spread across. And if I want to collaborate with someone on this document, I bring them in, and they will be able to work on it on their computer.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's telecommuting and virtual meetings and that sort of thing have driven some of that in the business world, to be practical about how these things get done.
So let's suppose you're somebody who is a boomer consumer and you don't have a handy 12-year-old to tell you how to do all this stuff or do it for you, and you've just gotten a brand new, let's say, Android tablet, for instance, possibly Brenda's Samsung Galaxy Tab A, which is a nice, yours is the A, right? Did you get the A or
yes.
the B? You got the A.
I got the A.
Okay. It's a step up from her previous Android tablet, and it isn't the top of the food chain. In fact, it's fairly moderately priced. I think we paid a little less than $300 for this tablet. Am I?
This was only $175 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And it was under $200.
The $300 one was the one that's like that. I don't need that much tablet.
Right, the Tab S. The Tab A is a nice little general-purpose tablet for looking stuff up on a quick. It's a good travel companion, and that's the big thing. You can, hauling a laptop back and forth and things like that can be a little bit tedious. My day-to-day, I haul my iPad back and forth, but I also have an Android tablet. And if I'm traveling really light, I will go with the Android tablet because it gives me the most bang and the smallest possible package. So things you can do with your Android tablet, and it varies from manufacturer to manufacturer, but of course you can use your tablet as a mass storage device. You connect the Android tablet to a PC through the USB connection. You can then copy pictures, music, and videos to and from the tablet. Mm. So when I shoot video on a tablet or on a smartphone, I can on an Android system. It's much easier than with Apple. I can just move the files back and forth.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. One of the things that I did recently was I looked up a recipe. And, you know, you can look it up on your computer, your desktop computer, your laptop, and print it off. You could bring a laptop into the kitchen, but then you got grimy mitts you know, crumbs get in the keyboard and that kind of thing. Whereas if you have a touch screen on a tablet, yeah, the screen might get a little messy, but you can clean that fairly quickly without too much trouble. By the way, don't use ammonia-based glass cleaners.
No, same as on your glasses.
On your screens of your tablets because they have coatings on the screens that can be harmed by those kind of things. Don't use any abrasives or things like that. You want to use an alcohol-based, as I recall.
Yep, the stuff that came with your eyeglasses when you picked them up down at the optical shop.
Yeah, eyeglass
works
cleaner.
Great,
eyeglass cleaner
on your
is good.
Screen, but do not spray the screen.
Nope.
Spray it on the cloth.
Yeah.
Wipe the screen and then turn the cloth to a dry portion, and you'll get the grime and gook and nasty stuff right off.
Major digression, but if you're working in the kitchen and you have a recipe that you want to have displayed up. Tablets are handy for that, although the one thing I will say is you may want to turn off your screen sleep time and make it, you know, so that it never goes sleepy by, so that the recipe stays up long enough for you to be able to work with it. But you can make those changes on the fly if you need to through your settings buttons.
Mm-hmm. When we get back, we'll talk a little more about what to do if you got yourself a brand new Android tablet. Also talk about what if you got yourself a Kindle Fire and also some ideas on care and feeding of a bright, shiny new iPad. All that and more on this last Boomer Tech Radio of 2017 with Bob and Brenda. More of the tech news you can use coming up right after this. Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
During this holiday season, we want to thank all of our veterans and active military for defending our freedoms in areas all around the world. Every day, these brave men and women put themselves in harm's way so we may all enjoy the American way. I'm Joe Comente, Executive Director of the Shasta Builders Exchange and the Trade School. On behalf of our staff, members, and students, we want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a happy and safe New Year. God bless you, and thank you for your service.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Orchard Nutrition Center is a proud sponsor of the Reading Health Expo coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium on Saturday, January 6th. Visit Orchard's booth and speak with experts in the areas of health and nutrition. Wishing you a healthy and happy new year. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing, Advanced Automotive.
Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
The last segment of the last show of Boomer Tech Radio for
2017.
This year.
Yes.
We'll be back till next year. And the tech news you can use, of course, the theme music you're listening to is of a gentleman named George Wood. He's an English gent who writes commercial jingles, and I heard this tune, and I thought, what a great song for our show. And wrote him and got an okie-dokie to use it, and that was 8 years ago, and off and running. He said, if you ever make a whole bunch of money at the show, send me a check.
Well, that hasn't happened yet.
Still waiting.
Doesn't work quite that way. We're just a small show on a small local radio station, but we do have listeners outside of the local area.
Yeah. Quite a few, and in surprising places, too. I know of at least one in Holland. And
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We're international.
We are international.
You can hear us as a podcast as well on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play.
Yeah.
And what is it? TuneIn?
TuneIn Radio.
Yeah, I haven't looked this up on TuneIn lately to see if we're still there. I should do that.
Yeah.
We didn't do that. Somebody did that for us, and by golly, we're still there. So it's interesting.
We are on the KCNR 1460 archives.
Right. You can find us if you really want to.
Yeah, go to boomertechradio.com.
Where you can also write us.
Yeah, you can write us there, boomertechradio@gmail.com.
And so there's lots of ways to get a hold of us. If you have a comment, question, we do love that. And we know we have a few loyal listeners out there, and please do send us some information if you're new or something like that. Or, well, not information, but a question or comment, we love that. Otherwise, we assume we're doing well.
Yeah. Our sponsor and benefactor for the entire run of this show, when they get a chance, they listen to it.
Yeah.
According to what Cody and Tim say.
Yeah. They've been known to listen to
that. That would be Advanced Automotive of Reading. If you are a listener in the Reading market, you could not possibly do better for your car than to take it down to Advanced Automotive.
The first class automotive care. So, and they treat you well as a people, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not just obsessed with the vehicles, although they do a good job with that, is a very good job with that as well, but they also take care of you, the customer, extremely well. Mm-hmm. So before the break, we were talking about tablets, and, you know, you can use voice commands on tablets.
Yep.
So in that sense, it's a bit like a smart speaker that we were talking about, the Amazon Home and the Amazon Echo and the Google Home. See, I'm getting mixed up now. All one and the same, right? But anyway, so you can have it look up all kinds of things that way, too. So more and more voice commands. I find myself using that on my smartphone in particular just because it's easier than typing in on that puny screen.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I have my 8-inch Android tablet, and then I have my iPad Pro, whereas a lot of millennials just do everything off the smartphone. Well, my 62-year-old eyes struggle a little bit with that, and my fingers struggle with the itty-bitty teeny-tiny keyboard because I don't use text speak or emojis as my primary method of communication.
No. I think those are often subject to a bit of misinterpretation. So, you know, I'm not so sure.
Plus, there's the great debate over whether there should, in fact, be a smiling poop emoji. You know,
yeah.
when it gets that silly. Really?
Oh, dear me.
Of course, what makes what we used to call programs are, of course, now called apps, especially when it comes to tablets. And you can thank the iDevice ecosystem for that. An app is a program. And I've had people ask, well, what's the difference? There is none.
Really? Yeah, it's just terminology in this case.
It's a That is an older term, actually.
Right.
Application.
Right.
Application software.
Right.
Apps, for short.
Yep.
If you have an Android system. Now, Android, if you buy an iDevice, you've got an iDevice.
That's Apple.
Period. Everything must go through the app store. Period. End of conversation. You can sideload unauthorized software, but you've just voided your warranty when you do that.
Right.
Android's a little more open, and every manufacturer... See, you can only get an Apple device from Apple.
Right.
That's it.
But to be clear about when you have an iDevice and your apps have to come from the application store, that is iTunes?
No, that used to be the case.
Okay.
iTunes is no longer used for the management of software on iDevices.
Gotcha.
iTunes is only used for the management of media.
Music, media. Okay, that's right. It can be visual media as well as audio media.
When we first started playing with iPhones, because the wireless networks weren't quite as robust or prolific, and, of course, data connections were hideously expensive still. You would update your iDevice by plugging it into, surprise, your Mac. And if you didn't have a Mac,
they had a PC version.
Yeah, there was a PC version. But that is no longer the case. You're no longer backing up your iDevice on your computer because now it's mostly cloud-based. It's now all cloud-based.
So on an iDevice, they have a thing that says App Store?
Yes. Every iDevice has an app store on it. Now, yours may not because yours is a company phone.
Yeah, I have an iDevice I can look on, but, yeah, they're a little, they mess with these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, installing stuff unauthorized, if you will. Nope. Yeah. There is an icon for an app store.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I can get to it. And it looks like a little triangle with interlocking woven legs.
Yeah.
A little triangle, blue background icon at least on my iPhone is what that looks like.
So Android tablets started out with a lot fewer apps than iDevices, but that has changed.
Changed dramatically.
Yeah, there's apps for everything. They range in price from free to $20 or more. You can either go to Android Market or Amazon's App Store for Android, which is a much narrower ecosystem, especially if you have a Kindle Fire tablet. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Android apps may not work on all Android devices because every manufacturer of a Android device puts out a slightly different version,
yep.
Which is why there hasn't been a universal rollout for the latest Android operating system, Oreo, which came out on the same day of the eclipse. They played with it a little
bit.
But it's rolling out very slowly because each of the manufacturers that is doing an Android device wants to add their own bells and whistles, and then your carrier wants to add their stuff on top of that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So that's kind of a pain in the butt. From some perspectives, Apple having such strict control over all of their stuff is in some ways cleaner. But, you know, it used to be that Apple had tighter security in its systems, but not necessarily anymore in terms of their apps were difficult to hack and things like that. But that's not so true anymore.
Now, by the way, with my Galaxy Note 8, which is bridging the line between tablet and phone.
Yes.
I have the DeX dock, and I showed it to Brenda the other day. It actually lets you plug your phone. And this, I think, is going to be a big thing. And then in the coming years, your whole computer system sits in your pocket or purse.
Yeah.
And when you need the bigger screen, when you need a real keyboard,
right.
when you want a mouse.
It's an interface.
Yeah. You plug this thing into the dock, and now it's up on a nice, big, shiny screen for your eyes, so you're not squinting looking at letters that are a fraction of an inch high.
I want to say, too, that if you have a smartphone and you're kind of used to using that and you just got a tablet, you're going to find a lot of the same functionality.
Absolutely.
It's just like a tablet in that capacity is almost like a gigantic smartphone. It's very similar. You may or may not be able to make phone calls off your tablet. Depends on how it's set up and what's going on.
Most tablets will let you use Skype. But Skype is across many platforms.
Exactly. There's an app for that. Skype has an app that you can use on your tablet.
Now, in case you've heard the term Skype forever and you say, well, what is it? Skype is a voice over internet protocol application. It was originally developed, believe it or not, Skype was originally developed in conjunction with eBay so that buyers and sellers would have a communications channel. It became an independent voice over IP service and then was acquired by Microsoft. So Skype is now a division of Microsoft, but it started out in the UK.
Interesting. Yeah. So they used to advertise this thing on television called Magic Jack, and that was a device that's voice over IP. So if you're familiar with Skype, don't worry, you can take it to your tablet as well. You can also have a lot of backups. For instance, if you have an Android or a Samsung tablet and a Samsung phone staying within ecosystems like Apple, everything that I have on my phone calendar will be reflected on the calendar on my tablet. So if something happens to your phone, you don't lose your brain, as I say, in that capacity. So you can hook up some links that way to where you can have backup capacity.
Most
on your
Android
tablet.
Phones and iPhones will as well, if you have the right setup, cast over to your flat screen. For instance, my Samsung Note 8 will send YouTube videos over to our Samsung television. And we've got an older model Samsung television.
You do want to be careful about that, though, because you don't want, if you have a data plan on your smartphone, and this
make
is
sure
you have to do that, make sure that you have the Wi-Fi on and not your data plan capacity. So the first thing you want to do is check to make sure your Wi-Fi is on before you do that, because then your smartphone becomes the pass-through device. Think of it as a projector, if you will, and your television is the screen. But you definitely want to do that sort of thing on Wi-Fi.
Now, maybe you've experienced this one with an Android device, and iDevices do it too, screen orientation confusion. The device will have the image upside down or sideways, and no matter how you're holding it, if you hold it straight up and down in the default configuration, that will often reset the little they're little solid-state gyroscopes, orientation sensors, and that will often reset them, so now they'll respond when you turn. Also, make sure that you don't have your phone screen locked as far as its orientation goes.
Right.
And to do that, you pull down from the top of the screen, put your finger at the top of the screen, and pull down. That's going to open your settings, and then you tap the little gear to be able to change settings. A lot of people don't know that about their smartphones.
Yeah,
I don't think your brother knew that about his smartphone.
Well, no, but that's because he tries to stay away from devices as it is. But he's learning. And for him, he says it's practice. If he doesn't use it for a while, he forgets how to do it. And I guess that would be true, particularly if you're not... the more you use it, the more you'll remember. If you don't use it for a while, then you'll remember how to do it. But
Android devices usually have three controls at the bottom. So now, up until the Note and the latest Galaxy, they have been a hard button and two. And before that, they were all three hard buttons. In other words, actual physical mechanical buttons.
Right.
Our notes have soft buttons at the bottom.
Meaning that
they're actually
part of the
screen. On the screen,
yeah.
But most tablets, like my iPad and my Samsung tablet, has a physical button that is home. But to either side, two more buttons. The icon on the left acts as a back button. The icon on the right opens up all the currently running apps or recent apps that you can quickly jump to, and if your phone starts acting slow, open up that app, which is, as you look at the phone, it's the one on the left side of the screen, and it'll have a little, like, two curly brackets, and it'll open up any apps that are currently running, and you say, aha, I'm running 15 apps at the same time, and you can close them all.
Yeah, it's like any other device. The more programs you have running, the more brain power it takes to maintain that, and it can make things a little sluggish.
Yeah. Now, on an Apple device, you want to get rid of an app on your screen, take it off your device. press and hold on the icon until they all start shaking, doing the little shaky thing. And then you can tap an X and erase it, which also deletes the app. On an Android device, you hold down the icon and drag it over. As soon as you start dragging it, a trash can appears, yeah. Just like the trash can on your screen.
On a computer screen, yep. There's a little trash can icon that'll show up.
But check your documentation. There's all kinds of online advice. This particular article that we were referencing came from Tech Republic, which is a handy thing. Now, so let us suppose, oh, boomer listener, that the grandkids got you an Amazon Fire. Now, I got to tell you, the Amazon Fire is my desert island device.
You know, it's not hugely capable. Like, you know, you're not going to replace your tab, your laptop computer with it. No.
Right.
But it's flexible, very portable.
And there
nice
was a
size.
Bin full of them at Best Buy the other day when we went to buy the Dex dock for my Note 8 phone. And there was a bin full of them for $50 each.
Yeah.
What do you get for $50?
You just, that is so hard to beat. You can download games on there. You can shop on it. Mm-hmm. You can use it as an e-reader. It's just very flexible little.
Yeah.
You can surf the net, although the Silk isn't.
Silk browser is not a bad browser.
It's not bad. It's okay. It's certainly adequate probably for most of what you would do, particularly if you're, you know, on the run, so to speak.
Now, if you have, you know, you can use, of course, the Android, Amazon Fire tablet, even if you don't have Prime. But if you do have Prime,
right,
its utility suddenly goes up dramatically. Prime Music has a pretty fair-sized catalog. If you want to pay a little extra, you can get the unlimited Prime Music. But I made do with just Prime Music for quite a while. It doesn't have all the esoteric stuff. Also, Amazon Prime Video has a lot of original shows. We laughed ourselves silly watching The Tick.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
There's other Prime original series and a lot of old series, too. And if you need to watch something outside of that, you, of course, can purchase the movies a la carte or you can get a membership.
Another service that is easy to access, you know, and you don't have to have the Kindle Fire to do this, but the Amazon, what's the Unlimited Books?
Amazon Reader, Kindle Reader Unlimited, which
right.
I do have. I really enjoy.
That's not part of your Prime membership, however.
Right.
That is an additional.
That's an additional $10 or something. But if you are a voracious reader, as I am, and here's a neat thing. I can be reading something on my Samsung tablet, switch over to my Kindle Fire, switch over to my Note 8, and never miss a page. It updates.
Keeps your place.
Yeah, it keeps your place and updates. During a recent trip, I read a lot of books, and it was very nice. If I needed something in a book size format, which is basically the Kindle, I was using that. Plus, you can install the app on your desktop or laptop computer. But reading off of a laptop is harder because it's so big.
Yeah, I think there's that, too. And the only drawback of having all your books on an e-device is an e-reader device is that it does take power, and you have to keep it powered up. Charged up in order to use it. But there are some simple solutions for that that will carry most people through a long period of time, little battery packs
right.
and things like that. If you're not near an outlet at any given time, and even beyond that, there are little solar systems that you can get that are, you know, here and now, even light from a room mm-hmm. will help recharge a device. So you can have these portable power systems with you. And
now, we've tried
helps.
Several of them. Uh-huh. We have our Sony packs that we picked up at Costco that have worked rather well. Also at CES last year, we got some GoPucks to evaluate. And the GoPuck is a very, it is about the size of a hockey puck.
Yep.
And it'll recharge my phone 3 or 4 times,
yep.
And it'll do my tablet twice.
It's not that big.
No, it's small enough to carry around in a pocket. A lot right. of these battery packs are kind of bulky and heavy, and this thing, while
right.
it's not exactly super light, It
at least it has the energy in it.
Yeah, it has the energy. It charged fairly quickly. And these things are getting cheap. You can pick up a decent battery pack for around $25.
You do take those on trips with you, though, and you are flying. Make sure that you're within
no more than 10,000 milliamp hours.
Yeah, TSA.
Or 65 watts.
FAA requirements for that, and there's information online about that as well.
And that may change from time to time. Right now, I think the limit is 65 watts.
Something like
watt hours, on which works out to about 10,000 milliamp hours. But, again, check before you go to the airport. The latest Fire tablets support micro SD cards, and this is nice. So if you've got a, if you want to stack a bunch of movies, you can put them onto the micro SD card in your device and watch while offline. Now, of course, you've got a very limited amount of time with which to do that. And in some cases on these movie rentals, once you start watching a movie, you have to finish watching it within 48 hours, which I've not quite understood that, but it has to do with the digital rights management.
Well, I guess it just forces you to not save it forever and ever and ever, right? So and once you start watching it, then it forces you to do that.
Of course, if you get a tablet, you can use the backup and restore function, and I recommend having your tablet backed up into the cloud, because I have managed to booger up my tablet to the point where it was barely working. You restore it to the factory settings, and then, or you, yeah, you reset it to factory settings, and then you restore all your settings. Or when you get a new tablet, and Brenda was able to do this when she switched from her old Android Samsung tablet to her new one. Everything, how easy was that?
Piece of cake, because there was an app for that. And it was pretty slicky poo.
Mm-hmm. Same with our phones. When we gave up our S7s in favor of the Notes, the guy at Verizon, and I can't remember the guy at Verizon's name.
Donald.
He stood there with us, and we put the phone side by side and transferred everything from the old phone to the new phone in just a matter of minutes. And that sure beats the daylights out of the old way of doing this.
Yep.
Because remember when we switched phones a couple of years ago, the entire list of contacts had to be manually re-entered.
That was such a pain. Yeah. Now, like the SIM card, we'll just take it and put it over here. Yeah, it'll just like keep name and phone number only. It doesn't do anything with all the other information we have stored in there, but in the case of the Samsung transfer app, it works really slick. It takes everything over.
Now, the original Fire tablets would not do anything. You had to get everything through the Amazon store, but the new generation with Fire OS 5, you can have Google Play Store installed. There are some apps that you install. You can look this up. This article has appeared on the e-book reader, but you can actually, what else can you do with your tab? You can use Google Play, you can come with Alexa, you hold down the home button until a blue line appears. Lots of neat settings for the Fire tablet. Finally, if you got yourself an iPad for the first time, lots of help out there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
For the iDevices. And,
well, there is for the Google or the, help me out, the other operating system.
iOS?
Yeah, no, iOS, any tablet.
Android.
Android, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I had a brain lapse there. You can Google these things and find out all kinds of stuff.
Neat thing that you can do with any of these now is if you've got way too many apps cluttering up your screen, is you can make folders.
Right.
Push on the screen, make a folder, and then drag all apps into the folder.
You might have all your games in one folder or email locations, whatever, or even stuff you don't want to see on the screen because you're not using it, because your device will have a bunch of stuff on there that's preloaded.
Yeah. So on iDevices, you can put the folder down on the dock, which on the new iOS is right where the dock is on a Mac type computer. Double clicking the home button shows you everything that is currently running. If things are slowing down, you can quickly turn it off by flicking it and just tossing it off the screen, which is kind of a neat thing.
Yep, pretty handy.
Well, gosh,
There goes 2017.
There
Bob.
Goes 2017. We want to thank you for listening to the, if you've been listening to this show for a while, thank you so much. Let us know. BoomerTechRadio@gmail.com. Stop by the website, BoomerTechRadio.com. Give us ideas for 2018 to make it a better show, to make it the show that you want to listen to each and every week. It's Bob and Brenda finishing up the year by saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
And Happy New Year.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
I'm Ron DeRockstra. Don't dress in layers, don't drink alcohol, and bring some hand warmers. Those are some of the tips being offered for the huge crowd of revelers expected in Times Square Sunday for what could be one of the coldest New Year's Eve ball drops on record. But it's also good advice for anyone who will be out in the freezing and sub-freezing temperatures expected in much of the U.S. this weekend. Frostbite and hypothermia are real dangers, but there is a way to prevent harm and to treat if you're exposed. Frostbite.